Good morning. Welcome into In Focus on News Radio KMAN here on a Wednesday morning, July 21st. And we are going to be focused on education this morning, USD 383 Manhattan Ogden Schools, and then later on Manhattan Christian College. Starting things off here this morning, we have Assistant Superintendent for Manhattan Ogden Schools, Eric Reed, joining us. Eric, good morning.
Morning, Brandon.
Good to see you again, and board member Kurt Herman is joining us as well. Thank you for being here.
Good morning, Brandon. Good to see you again.
Certainly is always a pleasure. School board has a meeting tonight, 6:30 p.m., and similar to what we saw with another meeting here earlier this week, law board, they had a 30-minute meeting, and I don't know if you guys can beat that time this evening. I don't know. Kind of a lighter agenda tonight. Maybe that's possible. Maybe
this morning, Brandon.
What's that?
You're pretty funny this morning.
Yeah.
We shall see. There's just a light agenda here tonight, but there are some things of discussion that will come up, no doubt. It's always interesting at the school board meetings. Thought we might just kind of start first off. We're talking a lot, again, unfortunately, about COVID numbers going the wrong direction. I think I read somewhere yesterday that last week we had over 100 new cases in Riley County. I think that's the first time that's happened since January, if I'm not mistaken. There's a lot of questions about what the fall is going to look like in the schools. And Eric, I don't know if you can give us any update on what the plan is so far.
Yeah, and I know this isn't what people want to hear, but I don't think we have anything definitive yet. I mean, you can look at our community the last 3 weeks, and you can see a dramatic change, not for the good. So we're working on scenarios. We're working on things. I know Dr. Wade's in communication with his medical advisory team on a consistent basis, trying to get their thoughts and where they're at. You know, one of the concerning things is the hospital's full, of beds and what we can do. But we're a month out from school starting, so I know a lot can change in a month. I think we're hopeful to relax some of that stuff, but I don't know if we're going to be able to. We're honestly going to have to look at where we're at in the community, make a decision, and hopefully be able to change and move with the times of what's needed to try and keep people safe.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And it's I think kind of like what Eric was alluding to is it's a breathing and living document. I mean, every time we say, this anything related to COVID, anything can change within a few days. But right now, our stance so far has been, we will not require masks, but we will highly recommend it. I'm really proud of the way our district has handled everything too, I'd rather be overcautious and we really need to protect our kids and our staff. And so, especially at the elementary level. So that's probably going to be the tough decision point is at that level.
That's one question that I asked school board candidates in my news series here I did this past week. How do you think the school board has handled the COVID-19 mitigation efforts? And I swear, it doesn't matter what side they're on other issues, they all were consistent. They think you handled it about as best as you could. So just thought I might share that here with you today.
Yeah, well, that's good to hear, and I think the community overall feels that way. But I really got to give credit to Eric and our staff. They handled everything very well, and I think some people thought we were overcautious, but I'm okay with that. That's the one time I would say that the safety and security of our kids and staff took priority over education. But that was the most important thing for us for this past year.
All right. Well, taking a look at what's on the agenda here tonight, there is in the reports part of the meeting, there's the child nutrition annual report. And Kurt, I know that's of interest to you here this morning.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that's, I've said a lot of times and we had a lot of superstars in this last year, and especially because of COVID, everybody worked extra hard and even our, especially our child nutrition department. And we had our largest grade school last year. Most people may not realize that we had 900 students that were all virtual. So basically it was like I had a 900 student grade school, and we fed most of those kids breakfast and lunch, and we had pickup spots, and we had staff that, you know, created basically sack lunches, and people could drive through and pick up food for their children. But, you know, even now, you know, every day we serve about 1500 breakfasts and over 4000 lunches every day. You know, and there's a lot of kids, you know, those are the only two meals they get every day or at the schools. And a particular note I would want to mention is that a concern for me for a long time has been over the holidays, you know, Thanksgiving, especially when we have the entire week off, that some kids really struggle to get meals on those days. But Stephanie had written a grant, I think it was a couple of years ago. And so we were able to provide a couple of feeding sites during the holidays. So our child nutrition staff, they're a bunch of superstars, and we're even short staffed, and yet they still come through and then make sure all of our kids are fed and taken care of. So.
Yeah. Do you have any comments, Eric, on that report?
No, it's just fascinating when you look at a year in review of any of our programs, but child nutrition's is one of those. And I echo what Kurt said, you know, Stephanie Smith and her team just did outstanding work all year, trying to make it work in a difficult situation and learning on the fly and going with it. So I'm really proud of my team.
All right. Very good. I know that a lot of industries have been struggling to get employees. Is that a department of need right now in the school district?
You bet it is. I know we talked about this last year, but I'll put a push out to the community again. You know, our ability to remain safe also rests in how well we're staffed. And I think we have para positions open. We've got child nutrition. We've got custodial maintenance that clean and sanitize, as well as transportation. The safest we can be is a full staff. And I'll put that out to the community. If you need a job, or if you want a job, or if you want something that you can do to give help to kids and be the best part of their day, and it'll be one of the best parts of your day. It's a hard place to work, but it's a great place to work as well, because you get to impact so many lives working in schools. So yeah, we're actually having a hiring fair at the district on the 27th and 28th from 9 to 3 at the Robinson Education Center. So we'll be interviewing for maintenance, custodial, transportation, para, and substitute positions. So if you're interested in those positions, you can come up to the Ed Center next week. And yeah, well, hopefully we'll be filling some jobs. But I think we have a few in pretty much every classified area.
All right. Good to know. And, you know, usually around this time of year is when we talk with the folks out in the transportation department, and I'll have to try and get them on here maybe the next week or so and talk about the need there. Because you talk about some unsung heroes of the school district, and that's the bus drivers.
Yeah. Well, and particularly this year, you know, because as you know, we're opening a new grade school this year, August 18th. And part of that, you know, part of the redistricting process is, and people don't understand the entire process, but it works very closely hand in hand with transportation. And we've got it down to a science, you know, and how many kids can, you know, get on each bus, and if, you know, how we can cover the neighborhoods and pick up spots. And so it's, they're very integral in redistricting. And since we, you know, a lot of families are going to new schools all over town. And so these bus drivers have to learn and know all the routes again. So.
Yeah. Brandon, she'll probably want to tell you about our Here Comes the Bus app that we purchased through that department that helps parents track where their kids are, when to expect them, when they're stuck in traffic, when they'll be home. So I think she'd be excited to share that with you.
Okay. Yeah. Good little sneak peek of that. That'll be good. You know, and it's interesting, Kurt, you bring up the redistricting discussion, and with online enrollment now going on, that's a good thing to maybe keep in mind here. If you're not sure, if you live on one of those kind of fringe areas where maybe you're not the closest to your school, you might want to check that map.
Yeah, you can check the map. We have our maps uploaded in the Riley County GIS system. And if you just click on your house where it's at, it'll tell you what school you're zoned to. I think you have to go into election zones and choose school districts and school boundary attendance zones. And if you have any problems, you can call the transportation. They help people with that.
All right, very good. Well, I'll tell you what, let's take our break here and we'll come back more with Kurt Herman and Eric Reed from USD 3-3 Manhattan Ogden Schools in a moment on News Radio KMAN.